Living Dead in Austin is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club.
The sun's going down in midnight Texas and things are about to get weird. Hello there, you're listening to Living Dead in Austin. We're reading Charlaine Harris's Midnight Texas series. I'm Alice Sullivan.
I'm Jeff Lake.
And I'm Micah Sparkman.
And today we're reading chapters 21 through 29 of Night Shift, the third and final book in the Midnight Texas series.
Previously, Fiji uses magic to, air quotes, put some old folks to, air quotes, sleep, so they won't come to midnight and make trouble.
We're never seen again.
We haven't heard from them since, right? Then she catches Teacher rummaging through her witch shit and uses magic to torture him. Then she takes Olivia to clean and tries to get her to murder a guy with a hammer. But Olivia declines. When Olivia is the anti-murder one, you know there's a problem. Also, Lemuel trades some junk from the shop for a vampire translator, so maybe, just maybe, he can finally finish translating his book. That is, unless any other Midnighters had some magical bullshit to dump on his doorstep.
Chapter 21. Christine is almost done with the book, and it was written by her Etruscan grandma? Grandpa?
Grandsire?
Yes.
Grandsire?
Yeah.
I don't know how...
Yeah, what'd you say that? Vampire? Sire?
The Sire?
Great Sire.
Master's Master? she's doing the job as requested, but she's not really doing much else to endear herself to her new owner?
Yeah, I think so.
Master? Like, I'm still not sure how this vampire thing works.
Still the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I know, right. She got traded for a magic eight ball, so.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And now she has to do homework all night.
Uh-huh. Oh,
God.
But yeah, at least we'll soon learn what this is, this magical vampire tour guide or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. And she says she tells Lem she needs to feed on a human.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, regular vampires got to eat, right?
I guess the synthetic blood isn't working for her, which is BS.
Uh-huh, that sounds like BS, yes,
that's,
right.
It's very much like it doesn't feel the same with a condom on, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yep.
So he tells her she doesn't have to return to Joseph when she's done, because she's so shitty, nobody's going to want her back.
I mean, right?
I don't really get why they're dumping so hard on her until later.
Yeah.
I get it later, but at the time.
She's a shitty vampire, right? Like, vampires value strength and power, and she's a shitty vampire.
Joseph was being a dick when he was like, yeah, she sucks, but yeah, she sucks.
I mean, she's there. She's getting the job done. Like, Lemuel's mad because he won't have sex with Olivia because she's around, but that's, like, not really on her.
Yeah, that's a Lemuel thing.
Yeah, exactly.
True. Yeah.
But he's going to take her to a bar tomorrow to get blood. The cartoon saloon, because apparently that's the only bar around midnight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's got such a catchy name, right?
Yeah, that is a good name. But meanwhile, they've got a rat, mouse, and other creature problem. They're dying in the crossroads.
Yeah, so I guess whatever the thing under the crossroads is getting desperate. What with Fiji killing... Sorry, not killing. A sleeping victims that it was going for before the thing can get them, right?
She probably put them to sleep and then, like, threw them in the trunk and brought them back and just, like, tossed them in the crossroads. She could have done that.
That's right. True. Yeah.
Possible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, oh, no, Mr. Snuggly. He's trying to go, too.
Yeah, that's a big mistake, right? Like, Fiji has been in a bad mood lately, and this is just like, oof, man, you're putting yourself in the line of fire.
Well, it goes for her cat, and then it goes for her kid, because Diedrich, being a were-tiger, like, has to be held back from Quinn because he's trying to go kill himself, too.
True, yeah.
So that thing is up against Fiji now. It is massively on her shit list.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of useful to pull the rats and mice out of the town, though.
True. I mean, like, that's a vermin problem, right? Mm-hmm. Better than exterminator.
Yeah.
But the book is done. Christine finishes it, but we're not going to find out what's in it yet.
Come on, the mule. I understand there's dramatic tension here being built to the narrative. But he's like, oh, you finished it all? I'm not going to bother reading it right now.
I did promise I would take you out to eat if you finished reading the book. So let's go right now, you know?
They get to the cartoon saloon parking lot.
Christina, he could have brought the book with them.
That's a good point. While she was eating, he could have sat there and read.
Yeah. Nope. He's got to sit in the car doing nothing.
Yeah.
He has very specific instructions for Christine. She's not allowed to kill them. And Christine, who does actually seem to be a crappy vampire, immediately kills one of them, right?
Like, by accident, maybe?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But you know, then of course to cover up that problem, she decides to ram Lemuel with a car. I did not really fully understand like where this was going, like why.
Yeah, I didn't understand either because he said she's free, so like she literally could have just left. I don't know why she's trying to attack Lemuel.
Yeah, she could. He could have. He said she was free to go, and she wants to kill him instead. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Well, he thinks at one point that he was about to let her go after she started trying to ram him with a car, but then like everybody would think he was a wuss and it'd be a big hassle and he'd have to establish his reputation again, and so he decides to kill her. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's it. Like, he couldn't let her get away with disobeying him.
Well, he thinks that, but I don't understand why Christine attacked him in the first place. That's the part I'm confused about.
Yeah, I think he was going to punish her, but, you know, like...
for killing the person.
Yeah, the vampire punishment is like...
She's a bad vampire, right? She just makes bad decisions.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Well, she wasn't a vampire very long.
Yeah, Lemuel kills her. It's really, really gross.
Yeah, he like rips her apart through a windshield. It's also really sad because now there's only two vampires that speak Etruscan.
Oh, that's true. Oh, damn. Yeah.
I want to know more about this Dr. Quigley guy.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And Aria Alclina.
Yeah. But he's badly hurt. Luckily, Olivia shows up. He offers to turn her, and she says she'll think about it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, like, she's open to the idea. I've said before, I mean, I know there's a lot of bullshit you have to deal with as a vampire, but, like, still, I think being a vampire is probably the best way to go.
I've been thinking about it, right? Uh-huh. And I think if you get, like, a Christine situation where you're serving drinks for 1,000 years or whatever, that sucks real butt, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have, like a Lemuel Bridger situation, pretty good, right? He's not really going to keep you around as a slave for very long.
I think it's like a pyramid scheme, but then you have a few outliers like Lemuel. And if you can be like Lemuel...
I think Lemuel is just... It's a pyramid scheme. That's insightful. And Lemuel is just really high up on the pyramid. So you're, you know, because you're on the pyramid scheme. If you're high up on the pyramid, you win, right?
Yeah.
You get the money.
So well, there's no one below him, though.
Yeah, right now there isn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if there's not very many people above him, then it's good to be with Lemuel.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a good spot. And we get a little more of his history. He tells Olivia that his wife, the one who has turned him, left him after they were struggling to get enough to eat.
Yeah.
Because they were farming.
Yeah.
So I guess he was a farmhand, and putting things together was not his forte, right?
Oh, I'm confused. Why was he still farming?
To sell, to get money. It was his job.
Why does he need money?
To buy people to eat?
Because this is America.
I don't know. To pay rent? I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
It feels weird to me that a vampire would continue doing their job after becoming a vampire.
Yeah.
But that's what he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't make ends meet because he could only work at night.
It was honestly like not a good idea. Like
he was a rancher.
It was bad, right?
Like, it was like I tried to drive the cattle at night. It didn't work.
Because they wanted to sleep. Lemuel. He's had 200 years to get smart, right? Like he didn't start out smart.
Yeah, we've been assuming that Lemuel kind of knows what's going on because he's so taciturn, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe he's just dumb.
Yeah, sometimes quiet people are not smart. Oh, Lemuel.
Yep. He did not, his intelligence did not shine in this chapter, no. To say the least.
You know, I was thinking, yeah, you know, it'd be shitty to be an energy vampire in a small town in the Old West or whatever, but like, that's an excellent point. Why would you continue doing the farming thing?
They don't need to buy food to eat.
No, like, you're right,
They can just go murder and take whatever they need.
I mean, yeah.
Also, they can, I don't think he can glamour people. I think he says at one point he cannot.
That is true, but he also doesn't need to drink blood. He can drain people without touching them.
Sure. Know?
I guess he also says that he's never been able to pass as human. That's one of his things. He's ugly, weird looking.
Right. Yeah. The thing at the crossroads is physically moving.
Ruh-roh.
Chapter 22. So the next day, Arthur comes into the pawn shop to question Olivia about her stolen car that was mysteriously wrecked with vampire ashes in it. Yeah. Which Olivia knows nothing about, of course.
Olivia continues the time-honored tradition of lying your ass to law enforcement in a murder investigation, right?
Look, Sookie Stackhouse would have been proud.
Yeah, Olivia's good at this, right? And I will say that Arthur, you know, he seems game for the midnight stuff, but in this case he was like, I felt like he was a little skeptical, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So yeah, it's your car. Uh-huh. The car, your engaged or married to the only vampire in the whole area, and then another vampire comes in and just steals your car and then dies.
And you know nothing about that, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
And she's like, yep. Weird, huh?
What a coincidence.
Yep.
Also, in this chapter, Bobo wakes up early to go check the crossroads for corpses, but it's unclear if this is like a recent thing or just like standard part of life in Midnight, right?
I think it is probably. Yeah. Like, you bought a pawn shop, it's probably on the lease somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta check for corpses.
Every day.
He goes downstairs with his corpse shovel and like, looks both ways. Nope, we're good. Puts his corpse shovel away and goes to work.
I'm gonna look at the Austin map real quick. Is the pawn shop at the crossroads?
I believe so, yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, it is pretty much right there.
I think it's the building that overlooks it alongside the hotel, maybe?
Yeah, it's catty corner of the hotel next to the Gas and Go.
Right.
Interesting.
Okay. And a tire repair shop, which we've never heard anything about.
Yeah, probably closed.
Yeah, true.
Chapter 23. Sylvester Ravenwing.
The gas station goth.
The gas station goth introduces himself to Manfred. He is his grandfather.
Yeah, this is a stilted conversation, right? Like,
I really enjoyed this conversation because Sylvester is clearly not good at talking to people.
Well, no. I mean, like we've seen how fairies are, right? And we've seen how like the more fairy they are, the less human they communicate. I felt like this is the same vibe. He's like mostly demon, and he talks like he does not understand human talk, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, is he reading Manfred's mind this whole time?
Oh, it's possible.
Like demons do?
I wonder.
Can all demons do that, or was that just a Mr. Cantalides
thing? I was wondering.
Unclear. I know that the gifts must be somewhat related, because Manfred probably got it from his demon heritage, right? His different gift, but it's probably still from that lineage.
I was a little sad when they started connecting a bit, because I enjoyed the 20 questions and I was wondering how long it would take Manfred to get to I am your grandfather, a 100-year-old half-demon who took up with your grandmother for a little while.
Just through yes or no questions.
Yeah, and also my demon father is buried at the crossroads here, and I came here because the enchantment is wearing off, and all of you guys are going to need to do some ritual to prevent that demon from killing all of you.
It would have been a pretty good chat, right?
Yeah, that's a hard 20 questions, right?
But instead he's like, look, just tell me the fucking story, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. Sorry, did I skip?
No, it's fine.
No, I mean that's
that was well summed up. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a half demon. His father tried to bang Fiji's ancestor, I guess. I think, right? Was Fiji's ancestor?
Well, a witch who was there, who very well could have been.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how long Mildred and her family had been there.
Yeah, Fiji. I mean, it seems like Fiji comes from a line of powerful witches. So who knows if they're descendants or not. Yeah,
that is interesting though, because so Sylvester was with Zilda. Zilda was already a psychic, and that's where Manfred got that from. I don't think he got magic powers.
Oh, you're right.
From Sylvester.
Wait, hold on.
Was Zilda a real psychic?
Yeah, she wasn't as talented as Manfred, but she was.
You're right. That's a good point. Well, hold on now. He could have given her the... No, she was already that, because they met in the psychic circuit or something, right? Because he was doing his shaman thing and she was a psychic.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but TLDR, there's a demon named Colconner, who's Manfred's great-grandfather, who's hanging out in the crossroads waiting to eat Fiji.
Yes. He was sealed there 250 years ago, and now the spell is wearing off.
Yeah, and like Colconner took Sylvester to a different realm.
Yeah, the demon realm.
Yeah,
hell, I guess.
I don't know. I'm curious how is Colconner similar, different to Mr. Catalides, right?
I think it's a question of how human, how demon, right? Mr. Catalides is also only part demon, I believe.
That's right. He's I think he's a half. Demon, I think
you're right. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
But Colconner's full demon.
There could be a variety of different demons, a variety of different other worlds of hells that he went to.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about that, though, now that you talk about it, like what magical powers are associated with the demons or the offspring of demons.
Yeah, because Suki's powers come from Mr. Catalides, not from her fairy line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave it to her, and of course, Barry is a direct descendant of Mr. Catalides.
Right.
Yeah. And... So Sylvester's mom's name, she was an Indian named Squirrel Hands.
How does that one happen, I wonder? she always does that thing with her hands. Yeah. Like a squirrel. I like all squirrel hands.
Chapter 24. The town gets together at home cooking. Quinn and Diedrich are moving here permanently, so that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. The Were-Tigers and Angels convene at Home Cookin', which is a sentence that I think has never been written before.
Lenore from the hotel comes in to ask Madonna about supplying dinners for the guests. Why not?
I liked how all the Midnighters in this scene were like, they put a lot of effort into looking like they weren't staring creepily at Lenore. But they clearly were, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, we talked about Quinn and like how he has like questionable like fathering decisions. And we can point out now that he has abandoned his child on top of a sleeping demon bent on conquering the world. So that's where he put his kid.
Right.
Yeah,
for safekeeping. Father of the year.
Speaking of Quinn, though, after they leave, Quinn asks Olivia what's up with her, Fiji, and Madonna, even though that's none of his goddamn business. Mm-hmm. Olivia won't tell him, so he goes to ask Fiji once again. Why is that any of his business?
Yeah.
Fiji tells...
wants to put his tiger tail in there, you know? I don't know, that's not a very good...
There's got to be a dirtier one, but yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, Fiji tells him a little bit.
He wants to wet his whiskers.
Fiji tells him a little bit, but not what involves Olivia, and now they kith. Looks like he wants a relationship.
All right.
Yeah. Go,
yeah.
I wonder, like, do you think... Okay, so Quinn kisses her. It's a tiger kiss. Do you think that involves, like, a sandpaper tongue? Like,
yeah. Right across the face.
Yeah. So Fiji likes cats, so, you know, she's into it. But, you know, I just wonder. I wonder what a Quinn kiss is like.
And then he sits down and puts his leg over and cleans his butthole.
That's right. Exactly right. He throws his leg behind his head and licks his butthole. Yeah, that's right. While making, like, uncomfortable eye contact.
And then looks at you like you're being weird.
Why are you staring at me? I'm just... Look. What, you don't clean? Because that's gross. Yes.
And that's when she decides it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Quinn is attracted to danger.
Yeah, probably.
No.
Yeah, that might be true.
Yeah.
So this whole thing, like Lenore making a job offer to Madonna, seems like a big mistake, right? Because I have a feeling that the Reeds are about to have like a mysterious tornado accident, and like that just means she's gonna have to go hire someone else too.
Feels like they're gonna up and leave town without telling anybody. All of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. Never seen again.
Probably on Halloween.
Right.
Chapter 25. Olivia and Lemuel discuss her family. Her dad is indeed responsible for the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And we learned her real name. And that's right, Olivia Charity is not her real name.
Shocking.
What?
I didn't write down what it was, but it was kind of lame.
It's
a good name to change.
Yeah. Olivia Charity is a way better name. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to keep Olivia Charity. Lemuel's like, that may not be the name you're given, but that's your real name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And for some reason, her dad's right-hand man, Ellery McGuire, is also watching Olivia for some reason, separately from what the dad's asking, and secretly.
I think this is what she's alluding to, I think, is the idea that this guy wants to take over the business, and he believes that she will inherit the business.
Oh.
So he's trying to... Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
It's
like a Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. wants to take the throne, and Olivia's the heir. So, the offer.
Yeah.
Hmm, yeah. Okay. Because there's still that weird guy who's hanging out at the hotel watching everything.
So I think that guy is... Wow, that's okay.
You don't think that's just a normal guy who noticed that every time he looks out the window, something bizarre is happening?
I mean, that's a good point. If you're living if you live in the Midnight Hotel, you're going to be watching that Crossroads a lot. Because, like, who the fuck knows?
That's a lot better than Judge Judy, right? You're just sitting out there watching... I don't know, all the animals piled up and died.
You know, like a few nights back, a tiger ate some lady.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never
Where'd the tiger come from? I have no idea. Where'd the tiger go? Nobody knows. But it ate that lady, that's for sure.
Remember there was a comedic scene earlier in the book when Fiji was talking to someone from outside of the town and like weird shit kept walking past, like Diedrich naked and like the Rev dragging a hose.
I think it was Arthur. Like Arthur had come to like question them and they were trying to keep him from looking out the window. Yeah.
Chapter 26. Lemuel gathers all of them, including Sylvester, at the pawn shop.
Yeah, Lemuel and Manfred both are filling them in on everything that we already learned, basically. The demon beneath the crossroads and Manfred's unusual lineage.
This is the chapter where the book, in my opinion, goes from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. Very quickly, right?
Joe and Chewie get all angeled up.
Yes, because they find out that the Sylvester is a demon, a half-demon.
Yeah, so they so their wings appear, they have swords, and their voices are speaking with, like, reverb or something like that.
Yeah.
But no one is, like, at all impressed at this point, because they're like, yeah, we know you're fucking angels.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Lemuel explains how they trapped the demon last time.
Uh-huh. A virgin witch with magic, quote, jammed into every orifice.
Yeah.
Had sex with a shaman on top of the demon who wanted to bang her.
The demon wanted to bang and then eat her.
Yeah. This the incredible awkwardness of that situation causes the demon to melt into the ground and go into a cringe coma for 250 years. He's like, I really wanted to bone her. And they're like, I'm going to bone her on top of you.
And Sylvester lays all this out in like one paragraph.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I wrote down the next sentence. Everyone in the room looked as though they had something to say, which I think is a masterpiece of understatement.
Oh. So they're like, okay, we just need to do that again. And then, so they're like, okay, we need a virgin. And they all look around like, hey, not me.
Hold up your V card.
Everyone's like, I'm not a virgin. High five, high five.
Yeah.
And then there's one person who's not high-fiving. Even the Rev is high-fiving, right? Yeah. And they like suddenly realize the awkward situation that Fiji is not high-fiving.
The camera pans past all of them and they all turn to look at Fiji.
Conspicuously not saying, yeah, high-five, you know? So that...
And because Fiji is such a snack, everybody assumes, right?
Yeah, right?
That she was not in the V-Club anymore. But that
awkwardness is exactly the power they have to channel to put the demon back into the ground. Yeah.
The power of making an entity want to be anywhere else in the entire universe, but right here.
Literally dig a hole into the earth to get away.
But hey, it sounds like someone's about to get their V-card punched, right? In the middle of a giant magical circle with all of their friends and neighbors.
In a crossroad with everyone they know watching.
Yeah, that subsequent situation will be so incredibly mortifying.
And all of her said friends and neighbors go around the circle offering to do the job.
That's right.
Already with Sylvester. He's like, I just met you, but I would be honored.
This is crazy.
Yeah, Joe and Chewie are like, we'll do it. I mean, look, we're gay, but we're not that gay. Come on, Fiji.
I mean, let's be real with you. We're angels, we can't lie.
So Fiji has to pick who's going to rail her in front of the entire town. Oh, God. In this moment, I was about to die of embarrassment for her, right? Hey, Fiji, hilarious. Which of us in this circle staring at you right now do you want to lose your you want to use your virginity to?
Oh, yeah, and it's got to be tomorrow night. Let's make it snappy.
So, yeah, this is like the right energy for this job, right? Already on the right track.
I think Deirdre's into it. I think Quinn's into it.
The only person who says no is Lemuel because he's married. Are Joe and Chewie not married? They're angels, I guess.
This maybe before the Obergefell decision. They may not be gay married.
Oh, fair enough. So they're allowed to. They're both allowed to bang Fiji simultaneously, I guess. If they, you know, mm-hmm. I guess.
Has her choice of angels. Right?
That's right. Which angels she like better?
I mean, you'd go with both of them, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, does she have to pick one person? Like, she could be like, let's do it. You know,
these guys are Old Testament.
Yeah. Mm. True. Good point. Oh, yeah. So with all of that, Fiji calls a timeout. She's like, can I not do this, like, right this very minute? I understand time is short, but holy shit, I need to just, like, 5 minutes, you know?
Oh, and Diedrich's, like, perving on her and probably, like, drooling.
Oh, yeah.
Panting and drooling.
Oh, I know. Like, he's... oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot to take in one sitting, you know? That's what she said. Yeah. Fiji goes home to think.
Chapter 27. Fiji discusses the situation with Mr. Snuggly. He says he sadly cannot have sex with her.
I know. He's like, you smell pretty good. That's what he says, pretty good. And would look good carrying cubs. But I'm sorry, I can't turn into a big man. Which, like, he says, he's very specific about that. I can't turn into a big man.
Can you turn into a little guy?
I can only turn into a tiny little man.
Hello.
Oh. Mr. Suggly knows that Bobo is probably the one that she wants most, which he thinks is ridiculous considering the options on the table. And I mean, like, he has a point, right?
Yeah.
Angels, were-tigers, a psychic, and an ancient vampire, and her top choice is a, checks notes, blonde dude with a bad family history.
Yeah.
All right, sure. And he's pretty. Bobo's pretty.
He's a good-looking guy.
But all these guys are pretty, right?
Yeah, like, they're all good-looking.
Except for Lemuel.
Bobo's
Quinn's
failure.
A snack.
Yes, Quinn is where it's at, right?
I would say.
I think Quinn is the right choice, honestly.
Yeah, so does Mr. Snuggly. He's like, I'd do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Bobo, like, his inability to seal this deal with Fiji before now has, like, saved the world or something.
It has.
Kinda, right? Yeah. If they hadn't had this, like, awkward falling out, they definitely would have banged on that weekend retreat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Save the witch. Save the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd like to point out that this is the plot of Monster Squad.
Oh, really? Wait, someone has to lose...
She didn't have to lose her virginity, but it had to be a virgin.
It had to be a virgin.
Spell
no, you're right.
Send all the monsters back to whatever.
You're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah, so they had to find a virgin, and it turned out the girl wasn't a virgin, and so they had to get the little girl to go do it.
Yeah.
I also like to point out that Lemuel refers to Fiji as unbreached.
That is a word for it.
Nobody's taken your maidenhead, Miss Fiji.
So Fiji decides to do what Aunt Mildred would do and cast a spell or tell her who to bang, I guess. Which, I mean,
such an eye roll. Like, yeah, come on.
This is the only opportunity where you ever get to be like, all right, who's lining up to do this thing for
it's
me?
True,
you
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that in that case, it should be the person that you most want to do it with.
Not necessarily the one you want to be with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's least likely to want to do it.
Yeah, true.
So, like, if she ever had a thing for Joe or Chewie, right?
That's a good point. That's the choice, right? Never going to get that opportunity again.
Right?
She could bang Quinn any day.
Yeah, exactly.
And Diedrich, I guess. Maybe not the Rev. I don't know. Maybe not the Rev.
Oh, that's the most grossest one to me. Because he's so, like...
It's hard to say how old the Rev actually is,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, I know, but he's all, like, taciturn.
Yeah, true.
And, like, religious. It'd be gross.
You're right.
Chapter 28. Quinn and Diedrich are talking. Quinn wants to send Diedrich to Sookie to be safe.
Okay. Okay. So many things right here. Right? Okay, like, first of all, okay, like, at a high level, like... Dumping your kid on your potential, like your sort of ex, is a little shitty, right?
Okay.
But also.
Yeah. Dumping your kid with like a preacher that you know, that's pretty shitty. Dumping it on your ex.
Yeah.
Very shitty.
Right. But also, the safest place to leave a kid, not Sookie.
Yes, yeah. She was like a problematic ex.
On his first date with her, they got attacked by like wares or something. And on his third date, they got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And they had to go through the swamp.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is like what part of Sookie's life seems like a good place to park a kid for a little while for safekeeping. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so here's the one thing. If someone did come for that kid, Sookie would definitely murder them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Dead as
yeah.
Well.
Like, dude, yeah. The, like, she's going to be like, can I show you to my kitchen?
Exactly.
Let me make you some ham and eggs.
Yeah. kitchen, driveway, or the Merlot's
parking lot.
Yeah.
Right. Sookie's prime hunting ground.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, they're drawing a circle around the crossroads, being watched by that guy who I'm assuming is one of Ellery's or Olivia's dad's people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a guy.
Look,
these weirdos are drawing a circle around the town in salt or something.
I mean, they said that a bunch of people who work at Magic Circle, it might just be a game developer who's like,
what the fuck is going on out there?
He's like compiling code in the back and he's like, this is what it's
like. Okay, he's not a game developer. Fucking Magic Circle. There's no game company in near Midnight, Texas that has to put people up in a weird hostel in the middle of nowhere. There's no game developer. This whole Magic Circle thing is the most unbelievable thing in this whole story.
But they have really good internet.
That's why they have really good internet, Jeff. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this one game a game developer got freaking charter to lay fiber optic cable out to the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, back to the demon buried under the crossroads.
Right.
You know, Quinn thinks about settling down with a woman, but, like, we know that this is all a red herring or red tiger, I guess.
Yeah, like, for sure. Right. Yeah,
Quinn and this relationship with Fiji coming up.
Is it?
Out of nowhere.
I mean, you know. I mean,
Bobo's just a normie.
Yeah, but Fiji's into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chapter 29, a stretch Hummer arrives, which I feel like dates the book a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been seen a stretch Hummer in a while.
We've been a stretch Hummer, haven't we?
Wait, have we?
In Mexico, right?
We've been in a jerry-rigged sort of.
Oh, that's right.
It was stretched.
I forgot.
It was stretched.
A Hummer that was stretched. Maybe not a stretch Hummer.
Was it a Hummer? I thought it was just like a Ford Explorer or something. Yeah, you're that right. They
I remember it being a green Hummer.
It was certainly stretched in a way that was unconventional,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. But some guys come out with big guns and they're approaching the pawn shop. The Rev yells out for Fiji, and she comes out and freezes them, because that's her thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad she mentions it, though. She's like, I'm feeling like a one-trick pony, but...
I mean, you know, it's old but gold, right?
As like the Rev says, if it's a trick that works, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
And his trick is to tear people limb from limb, so...
He's maybe a one-trick tiger?
Maybe hers is better for this situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Olivia comes out because she thinks that these people here with the guns have something to do with her. Teacher comes out with a gun, and they're like, wait, who are you here for? Yeah, like, I'm here to protect Olivia, which fucking saved his life.
Yep.
Olivia reaches into the Hummer and is shot by somebody in there who Fiji did not realize was in there. She does something horrible to him and kills him.
Yeah, does something off screen that makes him scream for a while and die.
Yeah. He screams a whole lot, and then he doesn't scream anymore.
So Fiji, yeah, this book, she took a dark turn, didn't she?
This is dark Fiji.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's fine.
I'm here for it. And she's about to have premarital sex.
Wait, they're not going to get married first? Are you sure?
I mean, the Rev is right there.
The Rev has already done a marriage this week, right?
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. At the end of the book, everybody's married off.
That's how it ends.
The end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so Fiji kills a man for the first time, but it's still not the worst part of her day.
That's true. Oh, God. Yeah, she's like, killing this guy is way, way less mortifying than what happened about 30 minutes ago.
And the cops arrive, and that's where we end.
More deaths. And the cops are like, yeah, we're cool with this. Yeah,
yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's midnight.
Yeah, it's midnight. This is just what happens.
Yep. That's it for this week's episode. Next time we're going to be reading chapters 30 through the end of Night Shift, the third and final book in the Midnight Texas series. I am Alice Sullivan, that's Bluebonnet Cafe.
I'm Jeff Lake, you can find me at jefflake.info.
I'm Michael Sparkman, that's Sylvan Habertos.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@armadillo.club.
We love hearing from you.
Please share this with anybody you think will like this. Please give us good reviews where we got this. Please find out how you can give us your dollars at armadillo.club. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time.
Good night, guys.